Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Sit down and relax yourself there now. He has given us Howie the Rookie, intermission Boy A as well, and his latest play, Reunion. It was a sellout success. From Dublin to London, now returns to Galway next year in the Gaiety Theatre very soon. It's about family and the secrets that they keep, the tensions that bubble away beneath the surface. But this family now, I think, be worse than the usual one. Mark Arrow, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
We know your name. We're talking about intermission already this morning, but I don't know so much about your background. And I was reading an interview. You're originally from Talla.
Originally from Talla, yeah. Just up to a secondary school education. Left school, worked in various unskilled jobs for several years. Always loved movies and literature.
What sort of jobs were you working when you were watching your movies and your reading?
Dun stores, video shop, news agents, that kind of thing.
Did you like any of them?
No, I hated them. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I was talking to someone earlier and I was saying, I think one of the reasons I became a writer was so I wouldn't have to work for a living. but it's its own form. It's its own form of hard work. But yeah, so after a few years of doing that, I just always had a passion for cinema and literature and wanted to maybe be creative in some way.
And were you an outsider in Talla then? Because in parts of Dublin, whether it's a rugby place, a GAA place or football, I presume, in Talla,
I was never into sport, so there was nothing at that. You know, this was in the 80s, so there was nothing there, and there was no work. There was nothing like that at all. Tough, the idea of doing anything of any artistic merit was just felt the odds were so much against it. So I kind of thought, well, I'll try writing. You only need a pen and paper to write. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what kind of writing will I do? And I thought, well, I could write a novel, but that would take too long. And I don't have a big enough vocabulary maybe to do that.
Is that what you thought?
Yeah, and then I thought I might write a film, but then there were so few films being made at the time, the odds seemed stacked against it. So I thought, well, I could write a play, and even if nobody wanted to produce it, maybe I could put it on with a few friends or something like that. So that seemed like the path of least resistance, and here I am doing it, whatever, 30 years later, 25 years later, whatever.
With a lot of success. Did Granny have horror novels?
That's right. Gee, where are you getting this information from? That's right. I think the very first time I ever read for pleasure, we would go down to my grandmother's on a Saturday, and I had lots of uncles there, and they loved sport, and I didn't like sport. That's so as soon as the sport came on the TV, the house became a very boring place to be in. I'd go up to my grandmother's room, and she loved horror novels, and so I go up, and I think I started off, it was that sense, you know, you were looking for that sensationalist thing, which was you didn't read the novel, you leafed through the novel looking for the good bits, you know.
The forbidden bits.
The forbidden bits. But I think that was the first time I ever read in any way for pleasure. And I would have been quite young, maybe about 9 or 10.
Right.
Must
have been Stephen King or something.
It was all sorts of stuff. James Herbert, really kind of gory stuff. But for someone that age, it's brilliant, you know.
Is intermission the thing that people stop and chat to you about a fair bit?
It's funny. I mean, it's something like 23 or 24 years old now. And what I find is when I work with actors, and especially actors who are 10, 20 years younger than me, they're the people I hear from most of all. And you bump into people who can quote it and who know reams of dialogue from it. And whereas with you, you do it, it's a very exciting time, and then you sort of leave it behind and you move on to other stuff. But I can't say it's not pleasurable kind of to hear that, like, it has sort of this following or this cult status, you know.
And just the cast is remarkable, isn't it? When you look back, it's 22 years ago. Cillian Murphy, Colin Farrell, Kerry Condon, Colin Meaney, Kelly MacDonald, Shirley Henderson, Breen F. O'Byrne, Emma Bulger. It's kind of like everybody who was on their way.
Yeah, yeah. They were all just right on the cusp. I mean, someone like Cillian was already pretty well known. I think Colin had done a couple of American movies, but they hadn't quite come out yet. But everyone knew he was sort of going to be a big star. And it was an exciting time.
And John Crowley was directing. You worked with him on Boy A. I think this is the project you're most proud of. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's...
In terms of film?
No, I wouldn't put it exactly that way. The way I put it was the project that... The script that turned out the best, that I wrote for me was Boy A. Yeah, I remember when I saw it for the first time, I thought, oh, that's exactly what I saw in my head, you know, when I went. In fact, it was an improvement on what I saw in my head. So, really? Yeah, I loved it, yeah.
Andrew Garfield plays the character, but it's a tough subject.
Yeah, it's funny. Like in the it's based on a novel. And for me, the exciting thing about taking on this novel, I don't know if people know, but it's about a couple of young men who kill a young girl when they're kids and they get sent into prison and their identities are kept secret.
That's
and one,
the boy A.
Yeah, and one dies and the other gets out of prison, and it's his story after he gets out of prison. So what I found exciting about it was very much a balancing act or a study between, does a person who has done this deserve forgiveness or do they not deserve forgiveness? And I kind of felt that the film really walked a brilliant tightrope in terms of where you go, so that when you watch it, I would hope that half the audience say he deserved it and half the audience say he didn't deserve it, you know. So yeah.
You like to play with these tensions. A bit like the clip I played just before you came in, which is Colin Farrell, who's so charming. And people probably remember Intermission, if they haven't seen it in a while, of, oh, these fun kind of criminals. But in the opening scene, you give your kind of your lead this horrible, violent incident where he literally violently punches a woman.
Yeah, well, in the script, it just says he punches her. Okay. But in the movie, it is pretty vicious. It's funny, they had a screening of it in... at the Kiln Theatre, where Reunion is playing at the moment, and they've a cinema downstairs there, and they asked me to do an introduction to it. So I did the introduction and I kind of stayed for the first scene at the back when the movie started, and I was quite shocked at how kind of visceral that moment is. And it's funny, that was the first screenplay I ever wrote, and I was reading screenplay books, and one of the pieces of advice I got was always start strong, start with a good strong scene. And it was a script at the time that started off quite gently and quite slowly or whatever. So I said, well, what can I come up with to kind of start it off with a bang? So that scene was written quite late in the process, you know. But
it was a different world as well, wasn't it?
I take no responsibility for the behaviour of my characters.
Because we're supposed to kind of like this figure, or at least, you know, want to sit with them for 2 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah, but I think the Colin Farrell character, a lot of those characters are more likeable and less extreme. The Colin Farrell is very, very, he's like this force of you know, you never know which way the wind will turn with a character like this. He can't quite be trusted.
There's
and,
your tension,
and if he is likeable, I think that really comes from Colin's charisma more than anything else. Do you know what I mean? There's not a hell of a lot you can do about that.
With everything he's done, it's still one of the most memorable things, certainly.
He's wonderful in it. Yeah, I think he's really wonderful in the film.
Come here, Reunion then is the first new play in some time, isn't it? What was the idea here?
The idea was the last play I'd done before that was a play called The Approach, which was a series of sort of conversations between two women. And so as like a visual spectacle, it was quite limited and deliberately so. But having directed it and watched it like many times, I thought the next thing I write, I want to have a lot of action happening on stage, a lot of life, a lot of characters, you know, just so that for myself, it would just be a bit of a more interesting process. So, yeah, I decided I wanted to write. And obviously, you know, during COVID, when you couldn't put two people together in the same room, I decided to write a play with a huge cast like this, where for the majority of the play, everybody is kind of on stage together, you know.
Kind of trapped as well, aren't they?
They're trapped. Well, see, that's another thing. Like, to write that kind of a play where you get a family and you keep them together and you let it be a pressure cooker and you let it explode, etc., etc., there can't be an option for anybody to leave. So it's set on an island. A family go to an island to celebrate the anniversary of their father's death. But the choosing of the island was a very practical decision, because I needed them to be somewhere that they couldn't escape from.
And there's a storm coming.
Well, a metaphorical storm more than anything else, yeah.
And what are they mad about towards each other?
Well, everything. You know, I was fascinated by the idea that in my own family, in families that I had met, in families with whom I'd spent time, there's always a sense that you've got you know, a bunch of people who have very different personalities and characters and problems. And because they're family and because they're related, they have to live their lives together. Mm-hmm. So it was the idea that what do we put up with from each other in terms of bad behaviour and in order to keep that unit working, you know, and consistent. And so I thought I'll give everybody sort of very complex characterizations, put them all together and see how the family can cope with staying a unit despite all that pressure to to explode apart.
And maybe they don't want to be a unit, but they feel the pressure of tradition, society, that, because they can become very different people in families, can't they?
I think so. I think, you know, another thing is, I don't think we ever move very far away from what we were in a family when we were young. I think when we get back together with our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, we always sort of revert to a particular type of behaviour we had when we were kids, which we may not have in other elements of our life, you know.
And your plus one in your life doesn't recognise this version because
exactly,
they weren't
exactly
there for childhood.
Yes. And there are lots of plus ones in this play as well, so they have to kind of survive this too.
It's very difficult to write that kind of family drama, because I always think, you know, your family members, everyone will know this, it takes your whole life to learn the particular vocabulary in a family. When someone says a certain phrase, it's loaded with meaning that outsiders wouldn't understand, isn't it? Even silence will say more at certain points.
Yeah. No, it's I love that stuff. Do you know what I mean? That's those sort of subtle things, those codes, those things that people do understand, that they don't, the things that they don't understand. And don't forget, your plus one, you often have codes with them that your family doesn't understand. I find the more complexities within that there are, the more fun the thing is to write and to perform and to watch, of course. So all that stuff, it's more like the play is very, it's very, very tightly plotted. And it's kind of, once it gets going, it's quite turbocharged.
Is it?
So the main...
The rows and the digs.
Well, yeah, but it can't just be rows and digs. It's got to have a story and it has to have an arc and it has to build and it has to... And so the construction of that is sort of the hardest part of the writing of it. I thought it would be harder than it actually was, juggling that many characters. But what's great with that many characters if you get stuck with one part of the story, you can just bring somebody else in or go to their part of the story and sort of get the engine running again, you know.
How are the audiences in London greeting this Irish family drama?
Yeah, they're great. I was slightly worried because it did so well last year here.
Yeah.
And the audiences were like wild and they were so vocal, and you know, the play is very funny, so there was lots and lots of laughter, but there's also lots of oohs and ahs and people being taken by surprise, so you really feel the narrative kind of effect, you know, affecting the audience in a big way. So I was kind of worried, not exactly worried, but concerned maybe about how audiences abroad might take it, you know. Is it only good because it's so Irish or
because
whatever,
we get it so intimately?
Exactly. But all the responses were in the exact same places. They just seemed,
really?
It seemed to be very, very close to, to how they responded here.
So maybe this uniqueness we think is particular to Irishness is universal.
Well, it's funny, like, you know, there's that saying, the universal is in the specific. And again, while I was writing the play, anytime I felt like a moment felt like another play, I would change it. And the only barometer by which I could kind of measure anything was my own experience and my own kind of viewpoint on the world. So that was kind of a great sort of North Star to stick to. And it feels like it's worked now because it's very, very, very specific to my understanding and my experience of family life. And that feels like it's really translated abroad.
You're no longer living in Tala. What's your family unit like these days?
I've a wife and two sons who are both in their 20s now.
A house of fellas.
House of Fellas, yeah.
Have they watched the play? Sure they have.
They have, yeah. They saw it here. They loved it, actually, yeah. They're not as big a fan of a lot of my stuff, but they like when they're... they like when their friends mention my work, but they it's not going to make them watch it.
They reach a certain age when intermissions start being quoted.
Well, yeah.
And Howie the Rookie, of course, that was a real kind of seminal moment for you too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was amazing. Actually, I was talking just there a minute ago to you about... When they had the screening of Intermission over in over at the Kiln Theatre. This was only last week. And I had to do this, you know, 10-minute kind of introduction. And afterwards, this couple come up to me and they said, Mark, do you remember us? And I said, no. They were vaguely familiar to me. But they were the family I stayed with when we rehearsed Howie the Rookie in 1999 in London. They had heard that the film was screening and they wanted to come and say hello. And it was a very moving moment. Really brought me back in time. Because even looking at the beginning of Intermission or even talking about it, I really felt that Intermission was a great representation of who I was when I wrote it.
Yeah.
But I also feel that reunion is a very accurate representation of who I am now as well.
Life has moved on.
Life has moved on. But then meeting these people took me back 3 or 4 years before intermission to my first success, which was Howie the Rookie. So everything just seemed kind of beautifully connected on that night.
And that was Tom Vaughan Lawler as a young...
No, Tom took over the part. So when we originally did it, it was Carol Shields and Aidan Kelly way back in 99. And then we did it again with Tom in, as far as I can remember, it was 2013. And that was the first time we did the show with one actor playing both parts. Yeah, and that was a great experience.
Because, of course, you're directing now, aren't you? And you're directing a reunion.
Yes.
Is that a different experience for you to be, because you were usually handing over your writing, watching someone else put the actors in certain places and the set and so on?
Absolutely, yeah. I said to my wife, I said, I got to direct my next play. This was like 15 years ago. And it wasn't that people were doing a bad job in the plays. It was just very hard to watch somebody else's vision take the play to the next step. You sort of felt like you're sidelined from the process a little bit. So I said, I need to try this once. If I hate it, I'll never do it again. Yeah. I'll still complain about other directors, but I won't. At least I'll know that I got it out of my system. But I loved it, and I love being in the rehearsal room. And I think you do have to leave the writer behind when you go into the rehearsal room. But what's great is you don't have to ask the writer for permission to change any given moment or whatever. You are the writer, so you can just you can make that decision in the moment.
Total control
yeah. And but also it's like when you go into rehearsal, it's a very collaborative process, so in a way the play isn't done until it's in front of an audience, you know, so you're still sort of working it.
Okay.
I mean, not to a huge extent, at least in my case. I usually bang my head against the wall until the play, I feel the play is absolutely
perfect.
Does
a theatre director kind of, if it's a run, do you go for one night and then you're gone for the rest of it?
No, you go, I would probably go about once a week. Because things can get a bit loose, and the actors themselves might not even realise this.
You step away for a bit and come back in and
step away for a bit. Now, some people go less often, but what you do is you go in and you spot a little thing that might become a tendency and that might get bigger as time progresses. So you just give a few little adjustments and
Some praise coming in for you here. I don't know how good you are, Mark, at the compliments. Terminus with Margaret Rowe is one of the best plays I've ever seen. I went from crying to laughing in seconds. The best kind of play. Eileen Walsh was amazing as usual. That's from Bedeen. Thanks for having Mark on. An amazing writer, national treasure, says Ray in Ballymun. Fantastic interview from Mark about the family dynamic this morning. Definitely we go to this play. I knew that would catch people. You see, the family thing is in all our heads, and every family is in everyone's head in the audience.
But it's funny,
when they're watching it.
I've got to be very careful about sounding like I'm plugging the play as well, right? But it is, it's funny coming to talk about the play with the play already having been done a year ago. And what you get an awful lot of is, that's me, that's my mother, that's my brother, my sister's just like that. Everyone recognises their own family. Yes. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that really drew audiences to
it. Could be projecting, of course, as the psychologist.
True, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you any advice for a debut screenwriter trying to get a start in the industry as this person?
Oh, God. The wrong phrase there is in the industry, because it's not about getting into the industry. It's writing a script that's good enough. That should be your priority. So
that's
you need to work and work and rework and rework the script until it's better than anything out there. And then the industry will come looking for you.
Very good. That is good advice. Margaret Rowe, thanks a million for coming in. Reunion is running at the Gaiety Theatre from the 21st of October to the 2nd of November. Ticketmaster.ie and the Gaiety Theatre box office as well. And it's coming to Galway next year again.
No, it's not. I think that's a mistake. It began at the Galway International Arts Festival, produced by them and by Landmark. And no, so it's just London and then Dublin.
It's playing away in London at the moment. It'll come to Dublin. So people look forward to it. Margaret Rowe, thanks a million.
Thank you.